Hi, everybody. This is Andy Elford, the host of the podcast All Andy Elford. And tonight's show is a special live edition of All Andy Elford as we do our show on Facebook Live this evening. So tonight's show is unedited, unrehearsed, and full of content. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Guess who's back?
All Andy Elford.
And a shot and a goal.
54
runs in the span. I'm
really
shut out.
Dumbino!
A hit to a home run.
Go!
Jeff.
Jeff Weber!
Put some extra relish on my hot dog.
Bear down, Chicago Bears.
Choo choo, it's time for All Andy Elford.
The fish return home. After almost a week and a half away from the bank tank, tonight, game three of the Central Division Final at the bank tank. A lot of questions going into this game tonight. A lot of concerns. You know, Cincinnati coming off of their four games in 5 days. You know, could they, you know, five games in 6 days almost. Could they, with the days off that they got, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, could they possibly rally enough and fight back in this series? Toledo, you know, coming back home, getting the home cooking, could they get back into the swing of things? We found out tonight what this Fish team can do. And we have a dominant, Detroit has a dominant goaltender for the future, I believe, now. So, welcome in to a special edition of All Andy Elford tonight right here on Facebook Live, as well as on the All Andy Elford Network, whether it be on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Bleaker, Stitcher, however you're listening, wherever, and whenever you're listening. Thank you so much for tuning into the show tonight, as we're doing this show tonight on the 10th day of May 2023. I am your host, Andy Elford, coming to you from the studios here in Toledo, Ohio. The Walleye game has just concluded just a few minutes ago. The Fish, a huge win tonight. We'll break that all down for you tonight. Also, you'll hear my game notes from tonight as well. I took some notes and give you my opinion about that as well. Also, got to get into this tonight as well, too. I'm wearing the Blue Jacket shirt, which is the John Tortorella quote, which is a mindset of believing. A mindset of believing into yourself. I believe the Blue Jackets are screwed out of a number one draft pick. They were absolutely screwed, and the NHL rigged the NHL lottery drawing. I'll get into that in just a second about that. Also, got to make mention of this as well. You can follow us on our social media platforms, whether it be on Twitter, which is at All Andy Elford. It is at All Andy Elford, as well as here on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/AllAndyElford. If you were at the game tonight, please post a comment right here on the program. Also, make sure you share this podcast. Share this podcast out with all the people that you know that were at the game tonight. Also, that were there supporting the Fish, the big crowd tonight. As the Fish were in a huge lead in this series. 2-0 going into tonight's game, game three. And it was a packed house at the bank tank, and that's where we're going to start off first and foremost tonight. As well, remember also we will have our guest, Wes Carr, joining us, who was at the Huntington Center tonight. We'll get his feelings and his thoughts on tonight's game as well. But if you were at the arena tonight for the game, please feel free to comment as well. Also, got to make mention of this too. I was between both the Walleye game tonight and then during the intermissions. I wasn't watching much of the intermission show. I was watching AEW as they were live tonight from the Little Caesars Arena in downtown Detroit, Michigan for their Wednesday night Dynamite program that just ended. If you watched that, feel free to comment about that as well. Surprising end to the match. I'm not going to spoil it for a lot of people, but that was absolutely a shocking end to the AEW taping tonight at Little Caesars Arena. So let's get right into it. Of course, like I said, you can follow us on our social media platforms, which is at All Andy Alfred, as well as on Twitter at All Andy Alfred, as well as on Facebook.com/AllAndyAlfred. So again, big game tonight. The Fish taking on the Cincinnati Cyclones in game three of the Central Division Final. And this was a huge game for the Walleye tonight. The Fish had to get this game to set the tone, to keep the series, you know, in their favor, as they have three home games, game three, four, and possibly game five at the Huntington Center to close this possibly close the series out. And game three, a huge test for the Fish tonight. And I wrote this down in my game notes that, you know, they needed to jump out to an early lead, get something going. And we didn't see much of that. We didn't see much of that in the beginning of this game. And it was dominated by Toledo in the first period. Shot department was all in favor of Toledo. Toledo was dominating, but, you know, you could tell that Cincinnati was well-rested after the 3 days off that they got Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. After they're playing those five games in 7 days, you could tell that they were well-rested. They were ready to go. They got back one of their key goal scorers back in the lineup today. And in McLaren, and he stepped up to the plate. I mean, he stepped up to the plate, and I was worried about that. I was worried about that when I saw that earlier in the day that he was coming back from injury, and he was one of the leading scorers for the Cincinnati Cyclones in this game. It was just, I felt like maybe that could be the piece for them to help him out, but the big key thing is that Rochester, the Americans, who are the affiliate of the Buffalo Sabres, Rochester Americans, and the Rochester Americans are the AAA affiliate. The AA affiliate is the Cincinnati Cyclones. Now, so Cincinnati, Rochester to Buffalo. Let me just say this: Rochester won their game against Syracuse last week in overtime. So Rochester continues their playoff run. So they're not going to probably get any of their, Cincinnati's not going to get any of their players back that are in the clubhouse for the Rochester Americans. So there's that. So that's going to help the Fish out in the long run. But tonight, the Fish got on the ice for the first time at the Huntington Center in a long time. It's been about a week and a half. And the Fish, you know, struggled in the first period. They outshot Cincinnati in the first period, 11-10. But you could tell that Cincinnati was really getting on to it. You know, and Cincinnati did not start back warm. They went ahead and started Sinclair in the game tonight. New goaltender. So that was going to be a little bit of a challenge, I thought, in my opinion. But, you know, Jason Payne had to go with the new hand to help his team out to try to get this series back to Cincinnati in the next week. But, you know, it was interesting to see him go towards Sinclair. But early, a lot of early shots for Cincinnati. You know, they absolutely looked refreshed. They looked like they were fully healthy. They were back into the swing of things. That was good to see. But Allen, you could tell that Allen coming back from the game, he was suspended after game one for the hit he put on. I gave him the 5-minute boarding call in the game misconduct. He was suspended for game two. He came back into the lineup tonight, and the fans were giving it to him. I got to give you a tip of the cap to the fans out there at the Huntington Center to give Sean Allen the boo in the game. He got booed tremendously, absolutely booed tremendously in this game. But, you know, it was good. And I wrote early on in this game that the refereeing system was looking very good. It was a clean game most of the game. It was clean. Clean most of the game. And then you had Gordy Green making an absolutely beautiful chance to get a solid play. But, you know, Sinclair, you know, was holding strong. He was holding strong for most of the first period. Absolutely good play. The problem I had with the first period is that Toledo was putting too much body on the boards, which causing more pucks to be in front of Sebastian Cosa, who got the start tonight for the Fish. It was too much power play. But then Allen gets the trips Toledo, and Toledo did not get any real chances on the power play. They were 0-for-1 on the power play tonight. But Toledo, again, was rushing up and down the ice on the defensive side and then back onto the offensive side. They had opportunity after opportunity to get through St. Clair. They couldn't get through it because St. Clair was standing strong. But Riley McCord, a bad penalty to take. He took a bad penalty towards the end of the first period. And, you know, I felt like at that time, about a minute to play in the first period, you can't give up a bad penalty like that, especially when it comes to the fact that McCord should have not have drawn that penalty. And then that would have cost, if Cincinnati would have scored, they would have had A, the momentum, B, the goal, the momentum in the scoring department, as well as the momentum fully on the ice. But that was key. But they held strong, did not let anything go in the back of the net. It was nothing after 20 minutes of play. Toledo outshot Cincinnati in the first period 11-12. Then we get into the second, and, you know, Berg was absolutely hounding. Absolutely hounding Sebastian Cosa most of the night. Most of the night was absolutely hounding Sebastian Cosa for most of the night. But, you know, Cosa was keeping an eye on him. Honestly, keeping an eye on him. And it was good to see. Absolutely good. He was stopped. He was looking very, very good as, you know, Cincinnati was putting pressure on them in the second period. Toledo had a good opportunity in the first half of the first period to actually, you know, put the puck in the back of the net, but they couldn't because Sinclair was absolutely stunning in this game. But then Vero draws a stupid penalty. Gives Cincinnati a power play, but they could not capitalize. Now, here's where the first goal happens. Now, Warag gets the puck in the neutral zone. He gets the pass from Hensick, and he just buries it past Sinclair. Now, it all sets up with the play that happened at the blue line. There was one of the fish getting held by the Cyclones, and it felt like the momentum was being drawn to the back that side, and Toledo just absolutely capitalized on the opportunity and just buries it past Sinclair, scores. Drew Warag getting his third of the campaign from Hensick and Charlie Curdy, even strength. And it's 1-0 Fish at the 11:35 mark of the period. Now, Cosa was just absolutely getting peppered in the second period. Absolutely getting peppered in the second period. He took 23 shots on goal alone in the second period. Unbelievable, Cosa. Bad penalty again for Toledo in that period. But they kill it. It's 0-for-3. They were 0-for-3 on the PK. And Cincinnati 0-for-3 on the power play. But it was weird on the second walleye goal in the second period. It was towards the end of the period. Yet Tatayev, you know, was making a play. Curdy takes the shot from the point. It gets deflected off of Hensick and goes into the back of the net past Sinclair. Now, Sinclair was calling for a high stick. It was clearly not a high stick. It looked like the puck was, he was holding the stick down towards the lower half of his body. It goes deflect off of that and into the back of the net. And Hensick, the old man, capitalizes for his third of the campaign this year from Curdy and Tatayev. And it's 2-0 Fish after 40 minutes of play. You then get into the third period and, you know, it was just a bad break for the Fish. Absolutely bad break to start off in the third period for the Fish. As the Fish, you know, Cosa gives up a juicy rebound. Nobody goes to play the puck. And Berg buries it past Sebastian Cosa. The brick wall that is Sebastian Cosa. And it's 2-1 Cincy from Bizard and Lipad. And it's 2-1 Cincinnati. So then we get into the situation. Okay, if we get into the situation that I think the league needs to definitely take a look at because of what we witnessed tonight in the third period. Now, in the third period, it was a bad call. I think an absolute bad call on Berzola. Berzola, Rams Ebbing, straight into the boards. Straight into the boards. The numbers, he hit him with the numbers to the front of him. Ebbing's face hits the dasher. He goes down and Brad Frederick goes out to take a look at him. You know, Sturge stood up for his man, grabbed him, wrapped him up. And there was no fight out of the situation. But let me ask you a question. If you could call the 5-minute major in game one of this division final, a boarding call I forget the guy's name off the top of my head that took the hit. It wasn't Vero. Oh my goodness. Curdy. If it wasn't for Curdy getting checked into the boards in game one to get a 5-minute major and the guy getting a game misconduct, Allen getting a game misconduct, and then eventually getting a suspension, how is that not a 5-minute major and a game misconduct? When you check the guy into the boards, hitting his head, the dasher, and you only give him 2 minutes, league definitely got to look at that. League's definitely got to look at that. That was a terrible call. And the referee, you know, screwed that up. Absolutely screwed that up. In 100% way. That should have been a 5-minute boarding call and a game misconduct. Plain and simple. Because and Kyle Rogers, who was the Hockey Hall of Famer, of course, even said it in the broadcast tonight. He was putting him through the wall. He was defenseless. The numbers were showing. This wasn't a side check. No. Ebbing's back was turned. And Berzola laid him out through the wall. And he gets 2 minutes for that? You gonna tell me he's going to be 2 minutes? Give me a break. So a two-minute minor. For boarding. Sturge gets 2 minutes. It's, you know, 5-on-4. And then Nielsen trips Green. It's 5-on-3. And I just wrote it out plain and simple on my notes. They have to score. Put this game on ice. Put it away. And what happens? Gordy Green goes for the opportunity to try to extend the play. Puts a stick out. Gets called for the trip. 5-on-3 over, goes to 4-on-3, and it's only for like 30 some odd seconds. And then all the penalties were killed off, and then we got into the stress that was the final 5 minutes. Back and forth it went. And then Cincinnati gets called for the high stick from Brandon Hawkins. It's a 2-minute minor. At the 2 minutes and 56 second mark of the third period. Now I'm saying to myself at this time, if you got to score, score now. They do not score on the power play. For the first time so far this series, Toledo was 0 for on the power plays tonight. 4 opportunities, they were 0 for 4. Could not capitalize. Cincinnati, we knew they were going to pressure. They couldn't get the pressure down. And tonight, at the Huntington Center, in front of a great crowd of 7,612, the Fish win tonight by the score of 2-1. 2-1. By the slimmest of margins. 2-1. Unbelievable. Toledo outshot in this game 44-31. like I said, Cincinnati had 23 shots alone in the second period. And, you know, he deserved it. The number one star tonight was Sebastian Cosa. He stopped 43 of 44 tonight. Save percentage of a .950. Sinclair, 29 of 31. Save percentage of a .895. Good outing for Sinclair. Like I said, Toledo outshot 44 to 31 in the game. Toledo 0 for 4 on the power play. Cincinnati 0 for 4 on the power play tonight. Three stars, like I mentioned, Drew Ora, the number 3 star, TJ Hensick, the game winner, the number 2 star, and Sebastian Cosa, the number 1 star, 2 hours and 31 minutes took to play the game tonight. We look at the overall roster for the Fish tonight. Curdy plus 1, Warad plus 2, McKenzie a minus 1, Hensick a plus 2, Sturts a minus 1, Tataya plus 2, Ebbing minus 1, Sabrango plus 1, and then the rest of the team, a 0 on the score plus minuses tonight. You know, it was good. It was a good win. Now the question is, can they close this out? Can they do 2 straight series with a sweep? I don't think so. And that's just, and I'm just being completely honest with you folks. I think Cincinnati is pissed. I think they are pissed at this, at what's been happening this series. I think you're going to see a lot of chippiness come Friday night at the Bank Tank. I think you're going to see a lot of hitting. I think if I was Toledo, I would absolutely get ready for this. Honestly, I would get absolutely ready for this because this game Friday night at the Huntington Center, could shape up to be. Possibly the toughest game in this whole playoff series. And that's saying a lot. That's saying an absolute lot. By the way, Nolan Boyer and Josh Linder were the 2 referees in the game. Cameron Dystrom and Christopher Williams, the linesman, in the game tonight. The Fish, a big 2-1 win tonight at the Bank Tank. Tonight, other scores from around the East Coast Hockey League. Florida is up 2-0 on Jacksonville. They win tonight in their series. And right now with 10-12 to go in the second period, it is the Idaho Steelheads up on the Allen Americans by the score of 1-0. By the way, that's looking at the series overall. It is Florida up 3-0 on Jacksonville. Idaho is up 1-0 on the Allen Americans in the Mountain Division Final. And that one. So, there's that for you. So, if you're at the Bank Tank tonight and you watch this big win for the Fish, please feel free to comment right here on All Andy Elfer tonight as you're watching and listening to a special edition of All Andy Elfer, our Walleye post-game show right here on Facebook Live as well as on the All Andy Elfer Network, whether it be on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Leaker, Stitcher, however you're listening, wherever and whenever you're listening. Thank you so much for tuning into the show today. And as we are getting ready to bring in Wes Carr here in just a few minutes for our post-game show tonight. Right here on All Andy Elfer. Right here on the All Andy Elfer Network. We're going to patch West in here in just a few seconds. Also, we're thinking there is a possibility we might get a call in here in just a few minutes from a familiar voice on the All Andy Elfer Network, of course, and that is Nick the Money Man DeVero. He wants to chime in about the whole NHL playoffs, the whole NHL playoffs and the draft lottery because, he, you know, of course, he's a Hawks fan. As well as, you know, what we've witnessed so far in the NFL. We'll get him on here probably. We're going to try to get him on here in the next few days, if not tonight. Of course, like I said, we're doing these podcasts after every Toledo Walleye postseason game, as the Fish are taking on the league to get back to the Kelly Cup final. So we're waiting on to see if we can get a hold of Wes here in just a few minutes. We're going to get him on here in just a few minutes here on the All Andy Alford Network. So, yeah, you know, the takeaway is to go into game four. Like I said, be prepared for me. For me, is to be prepared for the hitting. Be prepared for the physicality in this game. Be prepared for Cincinnati just to throw everything, including the kitchen sink, at this game. Because they're playing for their season. They're playing for a playoff check. They're playing for their lives. And Friday night, if they can get Toledo can get the job done Friday night, they can now sit and wait. And if it's against Idaho, this series is going to be a doozy. If it's against Allen, which I'm hoping it's Allen, then Toledo can have an opportunity to get back to the Kelly Cup final for the third time in 4 years. It would be absolutely amazing if this happens. But we take this one game at a time, one half a game, one section at a time of the game, first half of the first period, first half of the second period, and we take it one shift at a time. Plain and simple. Absolutely plain and simple. Pleased to be welcome in, of course, to the All Andy Alford Network tonight, of course, for Game 3's post-game show right here on All Andy Alford tonight on the on both Facebook Live as well as on the All Andy Alford Network, of course. Wes Carr joining us as always. Of course, I want to apologize to you, Wes. We had a mechanical failure that happened Saturday night for game two, and I heard from a grapevine that you were upset by that we didn't get an opportunity to get you on the program. So I do apologize, but you know, it's technology, it's just the way it is. But you know, you got a treat tonight in this game three. Tell me from your perspective what you saw and what was your takeaway from tonight's big game.
Cincinnati was definitely rested. They looked a lot better than the previous two games. So, you know, we didn't get that quick start from the Walleye of scoring in the first minute like they did in the previous two. So, well, nerve-wracking in the beginning, thinking that, you know, it'll end up being like a 1-0 game at the end. The way it was playing out early.
Yeah, I figured that, you know. Go ahead.
Cincinnati is really aggravated with Sturts.
Yeah.
So they go after him every chance that they can get. It cracks me up.
I mean, he's starting something. I was telling, because Amanda was watching the game with me tonight, I said, I think he's starting to plant seeds for game four, because he's starting, you know, because Cincinnati's, like, going after him, hitting him hard, and, you know, after the whistles, you know, roughing him up a little bit. I just felt like in this game tonight, you know, he was planting seeds for game four, because you know that Cincinnati's going to come out and playing hard and playing tough no matter what the situation is, especially with them playing for their playoff lives now. But what was your feeling about when you saw that, you know, Sinclair was starting tonight instead of Beck Warm? I thought at that time when I found out it was like right at game time that it was not him, not Beck Warm starting, it was Sinclair, I said, oh boy, this might be a little bit of a different story. You know, but I did see that, you know, Warm went and played four straight games, and now he might have an opportunity to rest. But, you know, Sinclair just absolutely looked outstanding tonight for Cincinnati. But on the other end, you know, Sebastian Cosa, what was your take on both goaltenders' performances tonight?
Yeah, they were both solid. I wasn't. I didn't know much about Cincinnati's other goalie, so I didn't know what to expect with him. Mm-hmm. But he did a really good job, so I probably wouldn't be shocked if they started him over Warren, but maybe Warren, you know, getting his rest from this game, he'll come back. But, yeah, Kosa, as always, it seems like he's always on point and getting blocking everything that's coming at him.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, for me, it was shocking of how many shots Cincinnati put on him in the second period alone. They put 23 shots on Sebastian Kosa in the second period alone in the game. And I was absolutely shocked that, you know, and it was still a 2-0 game after, you know, after 20 minutes. And, you know, him standing on his head this entire game, it was great to see, you know, especially, you know, we figured he had the start Friday. He had Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday off. He had 4 days off, and then goes out and does this performance, which is absolutely astounding.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
It's just nice having two great goaltenders that he can just rely on and not have to really feel like you have to worry about one being
one being a little bit down, and then the other one to pick themselves back up. But you know, with two solid goaltenders, you know, you could put your mind at ease a little bit between the pipes. I mean, for me, I gotta ask you this too, because you sit over in that section. You saw the hit that Berzola put on Ebbing into the boards over there. I was telling the listeners and the viewers tonight that looks similar to what happened in game one with the 5-minute boarding call, and tonight they call that a 2-minute boarding call. I think the league should definitely take a look at that. But from where I was sitting at home watching the game, you know, it looked very, very bad. From where you were sitting, did it look as bad as it did on television?
My angle wasn't the best on that. There were people stood up before I could even see what was happening. So I could only go off of the reactions of people in front of me. So, but I think the refs were kind of sucky tonight, in my opinion. They were letting stuff go early, and then all of a sudden they would all of a sudden start calling stuff.
Yeah, it turned into
that type of deal.
Yeah, it turned into, you know, a third period being having a lot of penalties called. Was regarding of, you know, it going from 5-on-4 to a 5-on-3, then to a 4-on-3, you know, it was just back to back to back penalties after in that one sequence. And then I think, to be honest with you, Wes, I think Toledo got a little lucky with that call at the end, towards the end, with the Hawkins getting the high stick. You know, if that was not if he would have not got hit with that high stick, you know, and it was just a play. You know, I think I would still probably be watching the hockey game, because I have a feeling that Cincinnati was getting the momentum and building themselves up. But as soon as that penalty was called, with about the 2:56 mark of that period of the final frame, you know, you could tell that, you know, Cincinnati was a little bit in trouble from that whole situation.
Yeah. When that happened, I was like, oh, there's a little breather right there.
Yeah.
It was just, because you're sensing that, like, right at that time, St. Clair was going to be heading out for the extra man. Mm-hmm. So, and then that just canceled that out for him.
Yeah. And then having him, you know, You knew Cincinnati was going to come with the pressure as soon as the penalty was, the power play for Toledo was done. And they came out, and then, you know, they flew down the ice. But, you know, it was just too little too late for them. I just felt like it was a little too late. When they got into the Toledo zone and then Toledo took the puck and they drove out to the neutral zone and then into Cincinnati zone, I said, this is over. This game is over. But, you know, like I said, Sturts, I felt like, put down some seeds for game four. It's going to be interesting to see how this is all going to shake out towards game four, because now you have a Cincinnati team that's playing for their lives. You know, they just had this big 7-game series with Fort Wayne, and now they're down 3-0 to Toledo in Toledo's barn, that they got to play these next two games, possibly at least one more game, two games probably. You never know. The next two games in Toledo just to try to save their season and try to save their lives. And now they're going to be throwing everything. I was saying this on the air tonight. I have a feeling that Cincinnati is going to be just running and gunning basically, because their backs are against the wall. They have nothing now to lose, except for losing this series. So do you agree with my statement on that?
Oh yeah, definitely. It'll be interesting to be, like, Cincinnati will have those little cheap shots like after the whistle all the time. Mm-hmm. The rest just don't ignore that. So I'd be interested to see if they actually do something about that. But they're gonna go all out though. Friday.
Yeah, I mean, what if you have a key to give out to for the game on Friday for the Walleye? What is the one key that you'd like to give to the Walleye players and the Walleye fans? And I gotta also ask you. Before I get to your key for game four, the atmosphere tonight, you had 7,000 plus. Did it feel like it was a 7,000 plus crowd tonight?
Yeah, it did. Yeah. It was pretty riled up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Key to the game, or hopefully, no penalties.
Yeah.
That's one thing. Because they'll most likely take advantage with that if that happens. Other than that, my pet peeve is like the backwards passing.
Yeah.
Like the no-look passing, especially on a power play. I'm not a fan of that. That's just a minor thing for me.
Yeah, but that's just the Detroit way of doing the power play. What they you know, Watson has taught what Lalonde's teaching up in Detroit, because Detroit does the pass back and the power when they bring the puck into the zone. But you know, you brought up a good point with that, because I noticed it more tonight that Cincinnati is playing back towards that pass to try to take that pass away so they can have a quick breakout. And I think that they need to take a look at that and go back to the tape tomorrow morning when they get back onto the when they get ready for practice and back on the ice, to figure out a different way to, you know, keep that pass from turning into a breakout for Cincinnati, and they can get past Lethemann, because we know that it'll be John Lethemann starting for game four, because it's the continuous rotation. If that happens, you know, Lethemann's going to have a field. They're going to have a field day on Lethemann.
Yeah, and other thing that they do, the Bucks also, more of them need to go one on one against the goalie instead of waiting for the team to show up.
Yeah,
you know, right? They had more chances with that, mm-hmm. but they just decided to wait for everybody. I'm like, if you at least attempted a shot, you know, somebody could come up from behind and get a rebound.
Yeah.
And shoot it. But they just, I don't know why they don't attack more. if they get the chance instead of waiting for everybody, but that's just me.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you on that. You know, if you can take the shot and you want to put, you know, and give up, you know that that Sinclair is giving out a big rebound, absolutely capitalize on it. Absolutely capitalize on it. And we saw it tonight. We saw it tonight with Cincinnati's one goal. Kosa gave up the huge rebound, and Toledo just stood around figuring that somebody was going to play the puck. And here comes Cincinnati right up the gut and takes the shot and beats Kosa. And that, you know, that killed Kosa's opportunity to have a shutout in the playoffs in the series. And it was a bad defensive lapse, you know, and that's what happens. You know, Cincinnati puts it, like I said, if you put the puck on the net and Cincinnati then, you know, and Toledo, you put it on that and somebody's there for that rebound, 9 times out of 10, it's going to go in the back of the net.
That's right.
You know, so, you know, that's just something that they need to address on that. And if for me, I'll give you a third thing, Wes. The thing is, for me, is that take the shot. Absolutely take the shot. If you know that you're going to pass it. Let's say there was a couple 2-on-1 opportunities that they had tonight. You know, I don't care if you're greedy. Take the shot. Absolutely take the shot, because if you think that the pass is going to be there, you better believe that Cincinnati knows that you're going to pass that puck. So take the shot. I don't care if you have to pay, if they have like a fine or they have to, you know, like how in baseball, if you run past the stop sign, you have to pay a fine for the, like what the Mud Hens do. If you have to take the shot, take the shot. Because if it's there, shoot it. Put it in the back of the net, because if they know that you're going to pass it, they're going to put that stick out front and they're going to block it. So that kills a lot of the 2-on-1s, a lot of the 3-on-2s, a lot of the situations where you're on a power play and you got a guy, you're passing it around, and the next thing you know, you see the guy take the shot, take just waiting and waiting to see if he can get the right pass to the right person for the open net, and you have the opportunity to put the shot in, put the shot on net to see possibly it could go in. Take the shot. Absolutely take the shot. 9 times out of 10, take the shot.
Yeah, because, I mean, I know they always want to take the extra pass, but sometimes, there's just too much passing, and which ends up, turning over the puck. So that's, I guess, one more on my list.
Absolutely. So, well, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what the dynamic is going to be Friday night in the Bank Tank on Friday, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, if what this team is going, what Cincinnati team is going to show up. Is it going to be the team that you know gave fits towards the end against Fort Wayne, or is it going to be the team that we've seen the last couple games, the team that we saw tonight, where it was absolutely, you know, pound, 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 and you know, chip, 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 and then, you know, not only just the physicality, more physicality. And Wes, I'll bug you on this thing, really quickly.
Yeah.
Let me bug you on this. I felt like tonight that Toledo was hitting a little bit more. They were hitting more, but they were giving up more of the big plays because of it. Like how it was a few years ago during the South Carolina series, where they laid out the check and it caused the 2-on-1 break, and then South Carolina scored to go to the Kelly Cup final. And it felt like tonight that Toledo was, you know, putting the body on, but at the same time too, they were giving Cincinnati opportunities to put the puck on Sebastian Kosa to see what is happening. But maybe I was seeing one thing. Were you seeing the same thing?
Yeah. You mentioned that. Yes. It definitely was bad going on.
I mean, it's scary to see that too, because I'm like, you're giving up a possibility of, you know, giving away, you know, a goal just to sell out for a check. I mean, you can't do that, you know. I know you. They haven't hit as much this season. They haven't put much physicality into it, but you can't match Cincinnati's physicality, and it costs you an opportunity to, you know, costs you opportunities, gives Cincinnati opportunities to put the puck in the back of the net. I mean, it's plain simple.
Yep, yep, definitely.
All right. Yeah. I mean, so, Wes, can I count you in for a game four? Hopefully we're packing up some Lippmann brooms for the Cyclones on Friday night.
Yep.
Hopefully.
Count me in.
We count you in for that one. So, all right, yep. Wes. I appreciate you coming on the podcast. And again, I do apologize again for not having you on, having the problems on Saturday and not giving you the opportunity. But
that's fine. I was just sitting waiting for the call.
All right, Wes. It's been a pleasure again, and we'll talk to you again on Friday night for Game 4.
All right. Sounds good, Andy.
All right. That is Wes Carr joining me right here on the All Andy Alford Network tonight, right here on Apple, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and Bleaker, as well as on Facebook Live tonight, right here. Listening to us tonight, right here, as you just heard Wes Carr right here on the All Andy Alford Network, whether it be on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Music, however you listen to our show tonight. Wherever and whenever you're listening, thank you so, so much for tuning in to the program tonight. If you are at the game tonight, please feel free to comment. If you watch the game tonight, feel free to comment right here on All Andy Alford. So, you've heard, of course, what happened. If you've seen my Facebook Twitter account, if you've seen what's happened in the National Hockey League, I wanted to get into this really quickly. Of course, we'll get into what's happening in the playoffs. Big win tonight for the Leafs to stave off elimination against the Panthers. The Leafs a winner 2-1 tonight. Edmonton and Vegas just getting underway here in just a few minutes. Are actually now underway as well. But I wanted to get into what we saw Monday night. Monday night was the 2023 NHL Draft Lottery that took place in Secaucus, New Jersey. Now, the Jackets projected to either have the number one or the number two pick. Anaheim projected to either have the number one or number two pick in this draft. You know, and the big player, of course, is Connor Bedard. That is the huge player that, you know, could change the face of our franchise no matter what. So we get into the draft lottery on Monday night. I'm sitting there watching it, and I'm ecstatic. I'm excited. It falls all in order. Basically, it falls all in order to chalk all the way to the fourth pick. Now, I'm sitting there watching this as it's taking place, and Kevin Weeks comes on the air and says, Columbus has the third overall pick. Now, I don't believe him. I don't believe him to save my life. I don't believe that the Jackets have the third overall pick. I believe the Jackets were in the top two in this. And how bad this team was this season, we deserve to have a number one or a number two pick. To see this franchise grow with a marquee player would be at a number one or number two pick. Weeks says that we had the third pick, but they have not drawn the number three card yet. They go to commercial. They come back from commercial. They do the top three. And the Columbus Blue Jackets get the third card. It ends up between Anaheim and Chicago. And the number one draft pick this year is going to the Chicago Blackhawks. Anaheim gets the second pick. I'm going to curse a little bit here on the air. Because I am frustrated. Absolutely frustrated. A franchise that has covered up sexual assault allegations. from their top prospects, a franchise that has traded away one of the faces of their franchises, and Patrick Kane, who has basically put Jonathan Toews on the shelf for the rest of his career. A franchise whose fanship doesn't fill up the buildings, doesn't fill up United Center for games that are important, like against the Rangers, like it's against Detroit, like it's against Colorado, like it's against Dallas, like it's against Columbus. A franchise that has won 3 cups in 6 years. You give them the number one draft pick. If it tells you that this league is rigged to the popular teams, I don't know what's wrong with you. Because Anaheim deserves Bednar. Columbus deserves Bednar. Not the Chicago Blackhawks. I'm telling you this. The Hawks do not and will not, should not, deserve the number one pick in this year's draw. In this year's draft. They need to go through the lean years, the bad years of this franchise. They have to. They absolutely have to. It's absolutely ridiculous that the league provides them and gives them the number one pick. And I don't care. It's all about the numbers. It's all about the lottery balls. They need to really take a look at this. They need to really take a look at this and say, is this the right way of doing this? Because this is terrible. Chicago does not deserve the number one draft pick. They do not. Anaheim and us in Columbus deserve it. Look at the franchises that Anaheim has. Anaheim has got 2 young, great players that are coming up strong. And Tyler Seagrass. And I forget the other guy's name. Top of my head. These 2 players are going to be studs. You add a Bednar to him. It's a must-see show. Columbus. Gaudreau. Line A, Bednar, 3 of them on the line. Playoffs. He goes to Chicago. You need to build around him. You don't have Kane. You don't have Toews. You don't have DeBrincat. You don't have, you have what, Seth Jones? Give me a break. This is ridiculous. This is absolutely ridiculous. This franchise, who covered up sexual assaults, gets rewarded with the franchise player. That's unbelievable. That's unbelievable. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. And the fact that this team, and how everything just panned out together. The stars all aligned for Columbus to have this pick. And for this to happen, Give me a break. Give me a break. Columbus deserves the number one draft pick. Anaheim deserves the number one draft pick. Chicago doesn't. Chicago needs to go through the lean years after the amount of success that they have had. And now with all this, let's cover up a sexual assault allegations by giving you the number one pick. Give me a break. Give me an honest freaking break. I talked to our friend Logan Carr. We were talking about the draft lottery. We both came to the agreement beforehand. Anybody but Chicago. Anybody but Chicago. And it turns out to be Chicago. Both were pissed. I am still furious. And it makes sense now that the league does not care about small market teams. Anaheim. Columbus. San Jose. All these small market teams, they do not care. They do not care about the small markets. They care about their original six and the teams that make the money, a.k.a. the Edmontons, the Vegases, the Chicagos, the Detroits, the New Yorks. Hell, even the Islanders. They make money off of that. To give the Hawks the number one draft pick this year. That's just a slap in the face. And it proves to me that the lottery's rigged. We need to change this. We need something totally better. Totally better. But we shall see. Frustrates me. It really does. Really does. The projection is Bernard to go number one to Chicago, of course. Anaheim is projected to get Adam Vitale from Michigan. Columbus is projected to get either Leo Carlson from Sweden or Matiev Mikolov from Russia. And I don't want him. I don't want him. I want Bernard. Yarmo, and I love what Yarmo said too, that they're going to add some more big pieces. Wouldn't it be something, and I'm going to put this out here for Jacket fans and myself. Boston's going to reshuffle their team. Foligno's coming back, I think, to Columbus. He loves Columbus. Jackets have the cap space now. Let's do it. Let's bring Nicky Flings back to Columbus. Now, I heard a rumor. Now, this is just a rumor. Jackets are interested in picking up Hayes from Philadelphia. I know I've heard that rumor so many times. But I heard Patrick Kane. I don't want that show here. I dealt with it with Panarin. I don't want that here. I don't want that here. And if you put it here, I mean, great. You're gonna have tons. I mean, tons of people in the stands. But do we need it here? Absolutely not. No, we don't. We don't need it here. We don't need it here. So we shall see. NHL draft is coming up in June. We'll give you the full recap, full preview, and so much more. So, yeah. As you are listening and watching a special edition of All Andy Elford tonight right here on the All Andy Alford Network, whether it be on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Pocket Cast, Bleaker, Stitcher, however you're listening, wherever and whenever you're listening. Thank you for tuning into the show tonight. And again, subscribe to us on the different platforms, whether it be on Apple, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Bleaker, as well as right here on Facebook Live, as well as on Twitter as well. So again, to recap, the Walleye, a huge win tonight over the Cincinnati Cyclones by the score of 2-1. No scoring in the first period, but in the second period alone, the Fish jumping out to the huge win, huge lead, early lead, as it was Drew Warag getting his third of the campaign at the 11:35 mark of the period. And then with less than a minute to play in the second period, the old man himself, TJ Hensick, getting his third of the playoff series, making it a 2-0 lead in favor of the Fish. The Clones do come back off a bad break from the Walleye defense as Berg gets a goal, his second of the campaign. It's 2-1 Cincinnati, and the Fish hold on to the win, 2-1, take a commanding 3-0 series lead against the Cincinnati Cyclones. Both teams 0-for-4 on the power play tonight. Cincinnati out shooting Toledo 44-31. It was Kosa, the number one star. It was TJ Hendrick, the second star, and Drew Warad, the number three star. Other scores, again, from around the East Coast League. 19:50 to go in the third period. It is the Idaho Steelheads up 3-0 on the Allen Americans. It was also a final tonight. Florida wins 2-0 over Jacksonville. They're up now 3-0 on the Icemen of Jacksonville. Tomorrow, on Thursday, there's only one game. Reading is in Newfoundland to battle the Growlers. Reading down 3-0 to the Growlers. We'll see if the Growlers can hold on. The game's Friday. Of course, Cincinnati, Toledo, Jacksonville, Florida. Jacksonville in Florida, and Allen is in Idaho. Got to make mention of this really quickly. Of course, the Tigers, a big win today, 5-0 over the Guardians. They take 2 of 3 from the Guardians. They now head back home for a 3-game series against the Seattle Mariners on Friday night. Then the Guardians now will host the Angels of Anaheim in a 4-game series three-game series with the Angels starting on Friday. So there is that for you guys. The Mudhens were a loser. They have lost 6 straight now. That's not a good way to they're starting to slide a little bit. Also, mention of this, the LPGA will be in the swing of things this week, as it will be the COSA Founders Cup that will take place starting tomorrow in Clifton. Players to watch out for, of course, you have of course Georgia Hall, Jennifer Kupcho. You have Nelly Korda, Hannah Green, Joey Edwards Stewart as well too. Paula Kramer is also going to be playing in this tournament. Stacey Lewis is playing in this tournament. Kelly Tan, as well as Emma Talley, Sarah Swartzel, as well as Jessica Korda, Yuka Sasso, Gabby Lopez, the Dana Open champion. She'll be playing in this one too. Anna Nordqvist, Sydney Bautier, Lexi Thompson, Christy Kerr, Paula Delacour as well. There is no Brooke Henderson in this tournament, so she has passed this tournament. And after this tournament, it will be the Bank of Hope Match Play Tournament, the 24th through the 28th, and then they'll go to New Jersey for the Mizuno Open, U.S. Open, and then the ShopRite LPGA Classic presided by Acer, June 9th to the 11th, and then they make their way into the Midwest for the Meijer LPGA Classic for Simply Give, June 15th through the 18th in Belmont, Michigan. So there's that. And then the U.S. KMPG Women's PGA Championship, U.S. Women's Open, and then it's our tournament, the Dana Open. There's that for you guys. NBA, Phoenix is up 52-40 on Denver right now in the game. My apologies. Yeah. So, yeah. One more sports news to pass along to you guys tonight, right here on the All Andy Alford page. Right now, Edmonton up 3-0 on the Vegas Golden Knights in game 4 of the series. Like I said, the Leafs will win 2-1 tonight over the Panthers. They stave off elimination. They'll play game 5 in Toronto this week. Mets beat the Reds 2-1. Verlander gets the win. The Royals a 9-1 win over the White Sox. Cubs beat the Cardinals 10-4. Really quickly, NBA right now. The Knicks save off elimination over the Miami Heat 112-103. And the Warriors are up 70-59 at halftime as they are down 3-1 to the LA Lakers. We'll be back on the air Friday night for game 4 of the Central Division Final between the Toledo Walleye and the Cincinnati Cyclones. Puck drop for that will be 7:15. We'll be on post-game for that on Friday night, as yours truly will be in attendance here at the Man Cave Studios watching the game. And then Saturday, if necessary, we will be at the Huntington Center for game 5 of the series. Could possibly be the last game of the season for the Fish. But if they do sweep the series on Friday, we will then have, of course, some layoff time before we get into the Western Conference Finals, which will either be between Idaho and Allen. So we'll figure that how that's going to all shake out as well, especially with those games going to be late games, if we're going to do the podcast before or after those games. So stick with us on that, of course. Right here on the All Andy Alford Network. Remember, subscribe and share this show. We want to get as many viewers and listeners to tonight's shows, to these playoff post-game shows. Pass it on, please. Please, I ask you, please pass it on. I want to thank my guest, Wes Carr, tonight. Of course, we couldn't get Nick the Money Man DeVera on the program tonight. We're going to try to get him on later on this week to pick his brain about what's happening in the sports world. Tomorrow, the NFL schedule gets released. So stick with us on our Facebook page for both the Browns and the Lions schedule, as well as some of the big key games to look out for this upcoming season. So until I talk to you guys on Friday night, this is Andy Alford saying I'm pulling for you. We're all in this together. Game of life. Keep your stick on the ice. And to the teams you root for at home and to my teams, go Walleye! 3-0 series lead against the Cyclones. Go Tigers. Go Reds. Go Guards. Go Falcons. And more birdies and less bogeys, because victory is sweetest when you have tasted defeat. Have a great night, everybody. I'll talk to you guys Friday night right here on All Andy Alford, because I love you guys. Love you. Talk to you guys soon. This has been a presentation of the All Andy Alford Network, right here on Spotify. You have listened to the show on the plethora of platforms, whether it be on Apple, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and Bleaker. However you listen to the show, and whenever you listen to the show, thank you so much for tuning into the show. As always, you can follow our show on Twitter. It is at All Andy Alford, as well as Facebook.com. All sports lines are provided by Barstool Sportsbook. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit GamblingCenter.com. The podcasts are recorded right here on Spotify.